Welcome in. This is your Wednesday live chat. This is all things Cognizant, aka the Honda. Chat about Jetta. Let's do it. We'll do one and done, best ball, probably even draft some major championship teams on Underdog at some point during the show. I got nothing but time. Look at me. I'm on vacation. I'm in a hotel room. I'm on the road. Mina's here.
Hey.
She says hey. She's a little grumpy. She just woke up from a nap. I do have my second monitor, though. So we're doing that for the first time, which is nice. So I'm going to get to as many of these questions, concerns, or comments that you have. So let's get to it, okay? Drop your questions. Now, something interesting happens here. At whatever time, YouTube, wipes the question. So if you put a question in yesterday, it's not still here. But what happened today was I got an email from Canise. I hope that I'm pronouncing that correctly. That says, hey, some of the raw questions might have disappeared. Here they are. Copied and pasted them to me. That's a big time community move. Canise gets nothing out of that. The community wins off that. So thank you very much. Here we go. Then I'll switch. I'll go through these. Then I'll switch over to the other questions. Josh Shaw says, love the content. I'm enjoying the Splash One and Done very much. Thoughts on Bezuidenhout in One and Done this week. All right. So let's jump into this. Let's go to my website, rickrungood.com. Basically, everything you see from this point on will be my website. I think you should go sign up. It's really great. You'll love it. Okay. So Christian Bezuidenhout, I agree that he is very much improved. If you look at what he is historically good at and what he's been good at recently, big differences. Historically, one of the best putters on the PGA Tour. Recently, starting to find the ball striking. He is working with, oh my gosh, I cannot remember. I'm blanking on his swing coach. I saw the videos. Jeff Smith, I believe. Jeff Smith has been working with Bez here. The approach numbers are wildly better than we've ever seen before. The question around one and done. And there's already a ton of questions about one and done, so we'll talk about that in depth. But I think there is kind of a flow chart. It's, are you going to play Rory? The answer should be no. You should not play Rory McIlroy. Even if he wins this, he is probably more valuable in another event, any other event later. Then the question is, are you going to play Eric Cole? And the answer to that should only be if you're front running, if you're in the top 10% of your one and done. After that, it's wide open. I legitimately think there's 20 guys that you could pick. Bezuidenhout would be on the list. Back to the other questions here. Thoughts on Brendan Todd, accurate driver, good putter, seems to be a good fit. Let's look into it. You got to be a good fit. You also have to have a little bit of something coming in that gets me excited here. Let's see if we can get to Brendan Todd. I'm on my laptop. Obviously, it's running a little bit slower than normal. There we go. Okay, so Brendan Todd, very accurate. Brendan Todd, very good putter. Here's the problem that I'm going to have. You lose 2.5 strokes on approach in Phoenix. You lose 3.6 on approach at Riviera. I get that's going to happen, but that's not usually what he does. Also, if you go down and look at his... let's go back to last year so we can get a larger sample size. His approach performances are much better on shorter clubs, 125, maybe even 150 yards and in. Anything outside of that, he drops significantly in terms of his PGA Tour rank, and that's where a lot of these shots are going to be coming from this week. They come from 150 to 175, 175 to 200. It's going to be a tough for me to get to Brendan Todd here. Next question. Love all the one and done content. Okay, this is another one and done question, and it also discusses ownership. It's from Baylor Bear. So here is the projected ownership, or it's not even projected. It's the accurate site-wide current ownership at Office Football Pool, which allows us to basically determine who's going to be very popular. So this question is about Shane Lowry, Eric Cole, and Russell Henley. It is... no surprise that Eric Cole is likely to be the most popular golfer in one and done this week, 15%. Russell Henley is right behind, 12%. Shane Lowry, 9%. I have played Shane Lowry in a couple of one and dones this week. I have not played Rory McIlroy. I've only played Eric Cole when I'm in the top 10%. I've sprinkled a little bit of Cam Young, maybe not as much as I should, but I went with Lowry. I went with JT Poston. And I think I sprinkled a little bit of Matthew Pavone along the way. That's how I did this. Maybe a little bit of Steven Yeager. I'm in a lot of them. It's hard to keep track. But Lowry would be a good fit for me. Just before we get into like the, hey, can you do a deep dive on Shane Lowry questions? Good outright odds for this week. If you look at his performances, even going back to the DP World Tour a couple of months ago at the end of last year, good results there. His results for 2024 are not blowing anybody out of the water. T25 at Farmers, that's great considering the field you're going to get this week. T60 in Phoenix, okay. But the good thing is gains from tee to green in basically in both of those and basically everything that he has played. He struggles with the putter. I think he can get that back on track. He plays out of Florida, going back to Bermuda grass. That seems like the most likely way to squeeze a little bit of juice out of Shane Lowry. Question about Grayson Sigg. It says, can you do a deep dive on Grayson Sigg? Mizuno staffer, by the way. Mizuno just signed. Who did I see Mizuno just signed? Rose Zhang? Love my Mizuno irons. And I do not get paid to say that. I wish I did. I wish I got free stuff. Just the absolute best. Here's Grayson. Fresh off of two missed cuts, he finishes T19 in Mexico, in which he put together four pretty darn good statistical rounds. Had a very bad putting round in round one, bounced back after that, and played well. T17 at the American Express. Okay, a little bit of boom or bust, right? I don't see the consistency here, right? There was a time when Sig and Steven Yeager were kind of similar players. Yeager has gotten much more consistent and much higher upside. Grayson Sigg still has a little bit of upside here. He has top 10, top 20 upside, but he misses more cuts. He struggles a lot more for two or three rounds at a time. So I think he's a little bit risky, but otherwise I think he is a pretty good play. Who is on the Rick Rungood betting card for this week? Okay, as usual, this is how I spend my money. Don't let me spend yours. You spend yours however you want. I've bet four golfers this week. Eric Cole, a 28-1, because I'm not going to miss the community win when this is clearly. So he's playing great. It's Florida. I mean, he's a Florida mini tour guy. Like, this is a home game. He gets the biggest boost for course fit. He gets the biggest putting boost. He is one of the few guys, along with Taylor Montgomery, who gains even who's a great putter and better on Bermuda. So I'm just not going to miss out on it. JT Poston, I think, is the obvious, just like Eric Cole kind of guy, right? Loses strokes off the tee, but if he can keep it dry here and then he turns into great second shot, great putter, has an okay history here, nothing to write home about. But I have Poston at 30, Eric Cole at 28. I bet Rasmus Højgaard at 60, love the talent. And I am firmly in the Maverick McNealy camp at 90-1 until proven otherwise. That number's too long. We've talked about this ad nauseum over the course of the past couple of weeks. I will not bore you with any more of that. With the winners that we've seen this so far this year, would it be crazy to start a lineup at Lowry and play a more balanced lineup? No, I don't think so. You know, I put together in my newsletter every single week, I show you the optimal lineup from the previous week, and I'm getting used to typing in that these lineups are 44,000, 46,000, 47,000, like last week, 47,400. No, and I think that also the thing about PGA National is it's a volatile golf course, right? Rory McIlroy, for all of his greatness, is not immune to making a big number anywhere. And he is definitely not immune to making a big number at PGA National, where there's water everywhere. Same goes for Cam Young, Matt Fitzpatrick. I mean, all these guys at the top, right? It's a lot like Torrey Pines. Torrey Pines eats guys up and spits them out, chews them up and spits them out, right? And I think that this is also a week to, like, the chalk is super scary this week because of the way that this golf course sets up. So if you wanted to go down there, be a little bit different, be a little bit cheaper, I wouldn't have any problem with you doing that. What would you consider a successful weekend for AK, Anthony Kim? What would you use in a model for Cognizant this week? Strokes gained off the tee or total driving? I would almost always use strokes gained off the tee. It's just a better, more complete stat than like total driving is, or driving accuracy, or driving distance. Here's the field for Liv this week in Jeddah. Realistically, and I'm not being facetious at all. if Anthony Kim does not finish in last place, I would be very impressed. And I think that that should be a successful week. You know, it is 12 years out of competitive golf, 12 years. He's a lot older, obviously, 12 years older. It is hard to come back from 12 weeks, 12 months, let alone 12 years. And to get thrown into a, listen, it'll be low key because he's not, there's no cut to worry about, and it'll be Jeddah, and there's not going to be a ton of people out there, but there's going to be a lot of people checking to see what he shoots and wondering if this is just a publicity stunt, right? And you're going up against guys that, even if they haven't played well, have been playing golf. So I honestly, my expectations are incredibly low, and that is not because of how I, what I think of Anthony Kim. I just think that we've never seen a guy take 12 years off, and then what that, what can happen with that moving forward. Hey, Rick, do you ever uncheck players in the custom model? Let's say you're 150 maxing. Do you keep your player pool to an amount? So I don't uncheck. What I've been doing, and I'll show you the custom model here. Oh, maybe I didn't have it already open. I thought I had a thought I had it open on a tab already. What I do is I'll do something like this. I'll change the max ownership to everyone to like 5. Or if I'm going to do 150 lineups, maybe even like 4, because that would be what? 10 would be 7-ish lineups, right? Would be like the minimum, because I don't want to miss out on anyone. I want to give myself like a, like I'm fine with having somebody in one lineup or whatever as opposed to zero. And then what I'll do is if I really like Rory this week, I'll put Rory to 40%. If I think I'll do this by salary. You know, if I think Cam Young, you know, I want to be level to the fielder a little bit more, I'll put him to 20 next to this. And I kind of just go through and do it this way. And some guys that I might feel better about, like Tom Kim, I'll put at 10. Eric Cole, I might love, put him at 40, right? And I'll just do it this way. So I don't really ever uncheck anybody. I at least put a safety net of 4. If they don't make it into a lineup, that's fine. They haven't done what they've needed to do to get into a lineup, but I don't usually uncheck people. Any chance we could get a rolling report in the custom model? Okay, so this is there is a rolling report that is available to you. So if you go to the power rankings, go to the rolling report, you can see. It might take a second to load. This is a big report and I'm on my laptop screen sharing here. So give this a second. Yeah, you can see, you know, last X, which is what you put in, last 12 rounds, last 24, all that stuff. You can see the rolling reports, the averages, the ranks, and that's available in the power rankings right now. I have not thought about putting that into the custom model. I don't know what that would look like. I guess what you could actually do is this. So you could actually, I'm trying to think this through. You could actually, if you wanted to just look at a report like that for, let's call it for off the tee, right? If you put, so there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 off the tees. So if you did this, right? If you put 20 weights on each of the off the tee stats, last 12, last 24, last 36, last 50, last 100, that there is your rolling report, is it not? Right? We've got, there's Rory number one, and then you could sort it by whichever one that you wanted. So you could conceivably generate this yourself, but I'll look into, so maybe I could just have a placeholder that says generate off the tee rolling report, and it just automatically puts 20 each in 5 of these, in these 5 categories. I don't know. It's a good question. I mean, it's possible, obviously. I just did it. Okay. The next two questions are, I believe, are connected, and they don't know it yet. But there's a question about a deep dive on Sepp Straka. And then there's a question about who is Armina's pick of the week. It's Sepp Straka. Yeah, I don't know if the mic picked that up, but I knew that. Now, who was it last week? Nikolai? He didn't play well. They said they need to bounce back from you.
Yeah.
I mean, you were hot. You went winner, runner-up on 2 long shots. Nikolai, you finally went to a favorite, and he hurt you.
I had no choice. That tournament sucked.
Yep. Here's Sepp. What I like about Sepp is despite the misgut in Farmers and the misgut at Riv, he actually has gotten a lot more consistent recently and still has not lost the upside of playing well, contending, being in a lot of tournaments, despite the recent misses. If you look at his stat profile from last year and compare it to what he's doing right now, he's a much, much, much better player. I worry a hair about the putter being gone because this event historically correlates really well to guys that putt well. Not necessarily that week, because that's not the way the key stats correlation works, but overall strokes gained putting golfers, guys for that year. So I do worry a little bit about that just because, you know, these are pretty pure Bermuda grass greens and I think you're gonna have to make some putts, but that would worry me a little bit, but I think he's still like a 6.5, 7 out of 10 as far as good play goes. Do you think having Rory in lineups is a must? If there is there a 5K guy to help you bounce back on? No, I actually think, I mean, I don't want to full fade Rory McIlroy, but I don't think this is a great spot for him. You know, it's again, a volatile golf tournament, a tournament that he has rarely played, a tournament that when he has played, despite having the win, is one of his worst courses. Actually, while I'm thinking about that, I did just push an update to the Holy Grail for that course horses tab. So what you could conceivably do is look up Rory McIlroy on all of his courses. Where are you, Rory? There you go. And see where he has played the best and where he has played the worst. Now, as far as guys with like 16 rounds or 20 rounds, you're going to find that PGA National is pretty far down the list for Rory. It is right. Where is, I thought he was at 0.8. Oh boy. Hold on. Stand by. PGA. Oh, why are you not there? See, this is what happens when you try to push a report before a show. I don't know. I'm going to have to figure that out. I don't know why it's not there. So there you go. Tried to get that done beforehand. The long answer is this is his second worst course in which he's played at least like 16 or 20 rounds on. He's still gaining 0.8 strokes per round, but that is the second worst. So no, I don't think fading Rory is that bad of an idea. If you need to go down to the 5K range, the three that I like the most, Parker Cootie, not to be confused with Pearson. I like, where is Jorge Campillo, 5,700, or going to, there was one other guy. I had three here. I think it was Novak. Novak at 59 off of back-to-back eighth place finishes would be the three that I would go to for a little bit of salary cap relief. There were multiple questions about Carson Young. We'll do that. I think we could get a Carson and Cam Young battle this week. Carson's been great, right? Carson's got the TA finish in Mexico. Look at the approach numbers. Look at the ball striking numbers in general. Putter, positive in three of his last four. Results coming in. I'm in on Carson. Hey, Rick, we stumbled a bit last week with Højgaard for the one and done, but still fourth out of 41. You did not stumble. You are fine. This week, I proposed to you Pavone, Mitchell, and Lowry. Who is the one? Let's get back on track. I would, I mean, if you have Eric Cole left, I'd probably play Eric Cole. Out of those three options, I would play Shane Lowry. Okay, those are the comments that did not appear. Canise, hat tip. Big move for the community. Thank you very much. Let's get back on track. Hey, Rick, any chance you have data for water hazard avoidance? Not handy. I would have to pull it. I'm in second place in a 10-person pick two. Should I just roll out Cole and Henley, or are there better spots for them coming up with less ownership? I would say you should just play them. I wanted to talk about the Pool Genius tool the one that allows you to plug all of that information in and tells you who do you, but I'll get to that in a second. I have two Canadian questions for you. First, are you still mad at Pendrith for last week? No, I don't really get mad at him. Secondly, how do you feel about Svensson, top Canadian? Okay. Yeah. The good news for Svensson is when he's playing his best, this is a good course for him, right? When he is at his best, he is a pretty pure ball striker who from those longer ranges only gets better, right? The two types of ball strikers, guys that hit their wedges and fire darts there, or guys like Adam Svensson that the longer the club gets, the better he gets. That's kind of what we need here. And you can see that from his metrics. Now, the problem is that he's hemorrhaging strokes on the putting surfaces. Off the top of my head, Pendrith, I think Mac Hughes withdrew last week, so he's not in the field. Connors is in the field. Gligic, I think, got in on Monday. I don't know who else I'm missing. I don't think Hadwin's playing this. So with that information, I think Adam Svensson is top Canadian. It's pretty good. Also, it's a home game for him, right? He plays out of Palm Beach. And guess where this tournament is? Yeah, you nailed it, Palm Beach. Last man in a GPP lineup, McNealy, Davis Thompson, Doug Gim. I think it's McNealy. Listen, I already said I've bet him. We have spent a lot of time talking about Maverick McNealy. I'm only going to spend 10 more seconds, and I'm just going to show you what he did last week and show you that his T13 in Mexico was not even striking it all that well and just continues to putt great. He's making gains off the tee. I've said it a million times. How do we feel about Bo Hossler? Well, you can't spell beautiful without Bo. Do you know that? Pretty good. Somebody said that to me the other day. So I want to look deeper at his numbers real quick. I'm going back to last year so I can get a bigger sample size. Let's see if it's any different for this year. Not really. The thing with Bo that I would worry about is a lot. So he is quite wild off the tee. 130th in accuracy, 137th in distance from edge of fairway. So when he does miss a fairway, he misses it in a big way. He gets worse from the farther proximities. He is, I think he is better on shorter kind of wedge festy type situations. I'll pull up his history here. I admittedly don't know what it is. Three trips. Last one was in 2022. T16, T60, T38. They're fine. I love Bo. I think there's going to be a lot of places to use him. I'm not particularly thrilled about this one. Has Pick on Rick come to an end? I don't know. He was plus on approach at Riven Pebble, back to one of his spots, a pivot at mid 7Ks, and a taste at 80-1. Let's look at this together. Yikes. Yikes, yikes, yikes. Was he a plus on approach? I don't know what you're, Ben, I'm not sure what you are looking at here. I'm looking at Ricky Fowler, who lost strokes on approach at Riv, who lost strokes on approach in Phoenix, who has lost strokes on approach in four straight, continues to putt poorly. I think Pick on Rick is on. Okay, we are getting some of the same questions back from earlier. Okay, have we reached the official beat early on Daniel Berger moment? Yeah, that might be a good call because we've seen Daniel play, what, three or four events now that he's been back in 2024. This is historically one of the better spots for him, right? So here's his, I mean, look at that. If you do 2024, 2023, he has three starts. It's just craziness. So here's Berger's stat profile. Still great off the tee. Approach play was awesome in Phoenix. That's what you want to see, a stroke per round. Wow, really good. Short game, struggling, no surprise. Kind of knock off the rust, get back into form. And then putting has been positive. Let's do his Cognizant stuff, his Honda stuff. Fourth, T36, T29, two missed cuts and runner-up. Yeah, I like that call. Try to be early here on Berger. There was somebody else we did this with. I guess it was Zalatoris, right? Where you saw the comeback and he was going to a spot that was really, really good for him. So
we'll have to reassess Daniel Berger on a weekly basis, but because he's getting to go to a really good spot, I think he should. I think this is a good time to be early. Tubin says, Rick, in one and done, should I just look at the betting odds and go down until someone won't be very popular? If you did that, you'd probably be quite successful. The issues you might run into is like, hey, making sure that I'm saving the right people and all that fun stuff, but that's probably not a bad thing. That's what Armina does. Here is the Pool Genius tool that I continue to use and love it more every week. I helped consult on this tool, so that's why it's near and dear to my heart, right? It's kind of my vision, and then the guys at Pool Genius built it. So it does incorporate, obviously, the betting odds, how those betting odds have changed, recent performances, course history, future value, right? So, you know, if I look at this event, this is a very small purse, $9 million, relative to some of these other events that are going to happen. Like Rory McIlroy, there are just dozens of payouts that are going to be better used for Rory McIlroy. You know, we're in this range right here. We're trying to use golfers like 26 to 29, maybe even 21 to 29, 21 to 31 on our big board. So what happens is, because I've already updated all my information and it knows how many entries I've used, or it knows how many entries are in my pool, it knows the rules for my pool, it knows what tournaments I'm going to have to use later, it gives me the short list. Notice who is not on my short list with the highest odds to win. Rory McIlroy, not remotely on my short list, because you should not be playing Rory McIlroy in one and done this week. You should not. My highest picked golfer is, or my highest graded golfer is Cam Young, followed by Ben Yeon, Minwoo Lee, Sung Jae-im. Now, what is also noteworthy, so it knows who I've selected, right? So Eric Cole's not on here. Steven Yeager's not on here. What's also interesting about this is I've never seen a list, a short list this big. It usually gives you five or six guys to consider and grades them. I've got 20 guys that are graded because it's wide open. I mean, it's just so wide open. You're probably not going to use these guys anywhere else. They have good odds to win this week. You cannot use Rory, and I've already used Eric Cole. I bet you if I hadn't used Steven Yeager, he would probably grade out pretty high for me, but there it is. So I recommend everybody, there's a free trial. So like if you can go put all your information in, put your pool information in, put in your past selections, and it'll give you this information. It's a very, very valuable tool. I like it. Links in the description. What golf glove do you use and recommend? All right, Jacob, there's two. So I don't know if you've been following along, but I've had golf glove issues. I would always burn a hole here, which I understand is because of a bad swing, yada, yada, yada. There are two that I would recommend. If you want a traditional glove, you know, traditional, what is that leather? I'm blanking on the name. But like if you want that pro feel, Red Rooster. Very good, lots of colors, very comfortable, stayed very, it never kind of crumbled or got crusty on me. If you are willing to try something different, I am currently in love with the Clinch Golf gloves. They are tactical gloves. They almost feel like rain gloves, but they're not. They're incredibly light. The first time you put it on, it's going to feel like you're not wearing anything. It's very weird. Cabretta, thank you. I have used, well, I have a couple now, but the first Clinch that I used it for like 40 rounds and it was exactly the same. And then I bought a couple more because I wanted different colors and stuff, but it'll take a little bit to get used to. I used one this morning. I love it. I love it. I wish I was getting paid to say that. I'm absolutely not. I have no interest in it other than the fact that they are really, really good gloves. Rick, this might be an out there question, but with this being more of a technical course with all the water and placement on the drives, do some of the senior tour guys pop out at all? I think you can get some of those guys who can handle those golf courses on the PGA Tour. Just an opinion. Is there an overreaction to Knapp's final round? He was breaking ball striking records, maybe call that Sunday round the nerves and winning the first tourney sneaky this week. Boy. Okay. I think I get what you're saying. Like, I don't care as much about his Sunday final round because, like you're saying, Curtis, I think it was probably a regression to the mean. He was, I mean, you're right. He had like 15, 14 strokes gained ball striking in the first three rounds. That is, he is either Scottie Scheffler, Tiger Woods, or it's unsustainable. The problem that I have is Sunday looked so different. The tempo, even when he was, even on the first 3 days, he can kind of get a little loose with the driver, and that's not going to play here. I think Vedanta was one of the better spots for him. I think this is one of the worst spots for him. So, sorry about that. John Moriarty, I think I already showed this, but I'll show it to you again. So here are the projected one and done ownerships. And I'll refresh this just to make sure. I can't imagine it's changing that much in the week. Yeah, I got a little bit of Russell Henley got a tenth of a percentage of a boost there. Eric Cole at 15.5%, Russell Henley at 12, Cam Young at 9.6, Shane Lowry at 9, Sepp Straka at 8. Those are your top five. Benny On's the only other one over 5%, 7.2. Everybody else is 5% or lower. I'm going with a lot of posting. You know, if you look at the betting odds, like Tom Kim at 2.9% would probably be pretty good. What else do we have here? Yeah, everybody else is pretty much garbage. Is Rory Cole starts my lineup too chalky? Wow. So Rory projected 34%. Eric Cole projected 20%. Are they the two most popular golfers? They are. So I would say yes. However, if you must do this, you better get freaky somewhere else, and you better keep your total ownership under, like, let's just see what would happen, right? So let's clear this out. If I locked Rory and if I locked Eric Cole, and then I said, whoops, I favored him instead of locked him, my bad. And then I said, I need my max projected ownership to be under 80%. Well, those two guys take up 54% of it. Let's just run like 10 lineups and see what happens. Yeah, you get Rasmus, Rio, Doug Gim, Mack, Thorbjorn, EVR, Bjork, and Chan Kim. Here's one that's really interesting. Bezuidenhout is also 14% projected ownership. So those three guys are eating up like all of your ownership. But then you go Pendrith, Michael Kim, Chandler Phillips. Like, that's what you would have to do. And sometimes it really bangs you here and gives you Padraig Harrington and Scott Stallings. And like, so you'd have to get very creative the rest of the way. This question about strokes gained putting. So the model really thinks that guys who putt well have success here. It's actually not an opinion. Strokes gained putting for the season is more correlated to success at this golf course than other strokes gained metrics. That is actually a fact. That's not an opinion of anything like that. It doesn't mean it's going to come true all the time, and it doesn't mean it's going to be the winner, but it is more correlated than other places. let's do a Jake Lauer or Justin Lauer. Sorry, I was looking at Jake Knapp's profile there. Yeah. So far, so good. Five consecutive starts where he has gained at least a stroke on approach. He's made the cut in all of those. The putter is not very good, though he did putt well on past Palm. Not a huge surprise for a bad putter. So I'm not going to give him too much credit there. I thought he was a very good wedge player. Could I be wrong there? I am. I'm quite wrong. Let's see if it's headed into this season. Yeah, he's a pretty good all-around ball striker, but he is better from those farther buckets. I will say, does he keep it in play? Nah. There's some red flags here, right? Finally gained strokes putting, and he did it on past Palm. Is that sustainable? I lean no. I could be wrong. He is a pretty awkwardly wayward off the tee. Is that a problem? Could be. But I get it. I get it. I think it's fair. I'm not super thrilled. I'm surprised it took this long to get to Ben on. I just figured Ben on was going to be incredibly popular and probably should be. He's the sixth most projected one and done play. I don't like the fact that he is lost with the putter again, right? So here's what we don't want to see. We don't want to see Ben on go the route of Lucas Glover, Ricky Fowler, where you switch putters, you get a good run, and then you fall back into those losses. And I don't want to say just two events is going to be the end of him with the putter, but that does worry me. The good news is he still finished T16 at Riv, losing three strokes putting, and you mentioned it. This has historically been a good spot for him. So cautiously optimistic here. Look at those results. Has for the most part, I mean, he's gained more than he has lost here, 3 out of 5. The two losses were really bad losses with the putter, but that will be the X factor. Can Ben on putt to a zero? Can he gain? If he does, he's in play. I am in on Rasmus, obviously, this week. I'm also in on Pavone, right? So let's just recap this. Already gone from the public sentiment, $8,700 Matthew Pavone, who will be 4.5% owned in one and done. And this is a guy that could have very easily and might have gone back to back at Farmers and Pebble. Think about that. Torrey Pines and Pebble Beach. They didn't finish the last round at Pebble. He finished third. It is pretty conceivable, I think he was two shots back, that if they play the final round at Pebble, he could have won, and it would be back-to-back victories to go along with his T7 at Sony earlier this year, to go along with his win in Spain in October. So two wins in 10 starts, 11 starts, a T5, a T7, and a third that was shortened to 54 holes. I'm willing to risk basically nothing, no ownership, no price, nothing. I should probably bet him. I'm going to write this down and go look at what his number is. That this is just like, why are we not more excited about this? This is, if Ludwig did this, I understand it's because we have a larger body of work for him, but this is an insane run he's on. I can't use your website at work because it's flagged as a gambling site. Is there any way to change this? Oh, man. I love sticking it to the man. So I would love for you to use the site at work. I would love. It's how I built this site. I don't know if I can change. I don't know how to. I certainly didn't. I would never have listed it as a gambling site. Maybe if I changed.
It's not a gambling.
No, but you know what I think I do? I think it says Rick Rungood, the largest database for fantasy and golf betting. Which might be flagging things. I'm just using that as a description. I'll look into it, Jeff. I want you to be able to stick it to corporate America, stick it to the man, make sure that you're running your models on their dime. So I'll look into that. I kind of gave a verbal deep dive on JT Poston earlier. I'm playing him in a lot of one and dones. Just quickly here for Griffin and for everybody else who's interested in seeing the stat profile. Finished T10 at Riv, bunch of top 10s, bunch of top 25 finishes as of late. Very good putter, good second shot player. Yes, he's going to be a little bit shorter or erratic off the tee. I can live with that. He is like basically Eric Cole for half the price. Ownership. What do you think of Corey Connors this week? I'm just so out on Corey Connors. I kind of got into this on the Monday show with Greg on the first cut. The fact that he just has to gain 5 or 6 strokes ball striking to get level from what his short game is doing. It's so bad, not even on the greens, but also around the greens. And it limits his ceiling. I mean, if I told you a guy gained 6 strokes ball striking at Riviera in a 70-person field and finished 24th, you'd be like, this guy stinks, right? Like, I just... There is so to me, I don't know where we squeeze the juice out of this, unfortunately. Having a tough time picking between GPP starters from the 9 and 10K range, not much difference between these guys, Henley, Connors, Mitchell, Cole, Kirk, Cam Young, Lowry, and Poston. Jeez. No, I think you can discern between them. No, get rid of Connors. I'm probably out on Mitchell. If you care about ownership, probably out on Cole. And I like the rest of them. One and done question. I've watched the one and done videos on league and setup. Sick. Shane Lowry, good fit. I think, okay, remember when Shane Lowry should have won this event, got melted in a rainstorm, and then Seb Straka stole it from him? This is a good spot for him. Is there a better spot for him? You could play him at like the Scottish maybe, but you're probably going to get a lot of good guys at the Scottish. This is probably the best spot for him. First round leader. Sure. So here's what I'll do. I'm going to go to the power rankings, which are right. Here. I'm going to go to strokes gain distribution. I'm going to go to 5+. I'm going to go to last 100 rounds, minimum 24. And I'm going to say Matthew Pavone, who gains 5 or more strokes to the field 10% of the time. Minwoo Lee is also a pretty good one. Is it time to give up completely on Brant Snedeker? Hasn't had a top 25 in a few years now. Just give up on him ever being a viable play again. Dan, you are like 3 years too late. You said he doesn't have a top 25. His last 20 top 25 is he had one in April of 2022. He had one in January of 2022. The Open in 2021. I mean, what? Yeah, we're like years. Yes, unless you're betting him to play four rounds or to finish like top 60. But no, Brant Snedeker should probably never come across your mind. And I love the guy. 35% Rory. Am I crazy? But I think I'll be full fade on him this week. That's fine. Also almost 21% on. What do you think about a Minwoo pivot? Okay. Let's do the Minwoo deep dive here because I feel like he has not played as much as I thought he was going to play in 2024. I don't know why. But here's what we've got. American Express, T21, Farmers, Phoenix. Yikes. Very bad in Phoenix, but it was all over the final two rounds. They played there were the two rounds there. See, he might have played half of round three and all of round four on Sunday. I'm willing to not put a lot of weight on the weekend stuff in Phoenix because the whole event was scheduled weird, right? The Farmer stuff is not great. Lost a stroke and a half on approach there in round four at Torrey Pines, but the other rounds were okay. American Express was fine. Oh boy, has he played here before? Last year, T26. How big is the difference between An and Minwoo? Wow, it's like a third. Yeah. Yeah. I'm comfortable with that. I'm pretty comfortable with that. Longer term, Minwoo smashes Benny On, especially if you start looking at the DP World Tour stuff. So I'm okay with that. If you had to pick one person to win this tournament, who would it be? I mean, I'm just going to be a cornball and say Eric Cole. Does Pool Genius take into account ownership projected or place in standings when giving picks? We can't change the golfer rankings. We can't change the golfer rankings. So we are all getting some recs. Oh, no. You're not getting the same recs. So it does not take into account ownership projections yet. I thought it was going to be ready for this week, so I'm assuming it might be ready for next week. But it is taking into account all of your pool rules, right? So when you say, hey, there's 1,000 people here or there's 10 people, it understands the difference in aggression that you need to have. It is also looking at your earnings thus far and making assumptions on where your standings, where you are. So if you've only made $500,000 in a 1,000-person pool, it knows you need to foot on gas a little bit or be a little bit different or start taking on a little bit more risk. If you are, you know, second out of 10, or if you've made 2 million out of 10, it assumes you're near the top. It is going to assume you're like, it's going to tell you to play Eric Cole or whatever. So no, it is taking that into account. And I imagine, it was supposed to be last week, I believe, that the, so there's a partnership, I believe. I don't want to speak too much about this because I'm not sure if it's, I don't want to speak out of turn, but I understand that there is a partnership between Pool Genius and Splash. Splash owns Office Football Pool and Run Your Pool. The idea is that the Office Football Pool ownership is going to come into this, right? So what we use here will just come into that. So that's what I imagine. Speaking of Splash, there is a 3-and-done, okay? So a 3-and-done for the players and the majors. People have told me, and the data apparently shows, that major pools are up and to the right, rocket ship time. So for the first time, what we did was a $500, which I know some people have said, hey, is there going to be anything less expensive? I'll look into it. But here's a $500. So it's 100, basically 125 bucks for each major or for each event. 460 people, that's 200,000 in the purse. This is fully regulated in 40 states and DC. If we fill it, first is 25K. Second is 20K, paying out 50 spots out of 460. And then there are payouts for each tournament. So if you have a really great open, but you're already out of it, you will still win money. I am under the impression that this is going to be very popular. I'm hoping that is true. The link is in the description. If you want to get into that, I would love to fill that. There is also, while you're over on Splash, there is also the tiers contest, which is guaranteed. It's only half full, so there's probably going to be an overlay in this. You pick a golfer from each of six tiers, put your entry in, somebody's going to win $864 this week, and then payouts are down here. So I'll keep linking the stuff on Splash. If we keep filling it, we get a little bit more leash. We can do fun stuff. They're pretty creative. So, so far, so good on this stuff. Links in the descriptions to all of that. Are you more concerned about recent form or course history? Form. Is there anyone as a better value in the last slot under 7,200 than Rio Hisatsune? Hisatsune. I think it's McNealy at 7,100. That's me. You guys know that I'm irrationally involved in this now with McNealy at 7,100, and it's been working out, and I am going to have to go with that. So I think that that is a little bit better. I also wouldn't mind. I understand if you're leery about Doug Gim's three straight missed cuts here and 0-for-3, that is fine. But what he has done in his last three is really, really good. I would prefer either one of those over Rio, and then I would probably go to him. Okay, so it's close. Oh boy, I'll come back. That's a deep dive, Sage. It says, "What is Thorbjorn's current PGA comp?" I'd have to dive into that. Best putters on this surface. Okay, so go to the Holy Grail. Go to strokes gain. Whoops. Go to strokes gain by tournament. Pick however many years you want. Go to more filters. Start clicking Bermuda. You can do Bermuda. See, here's the thing. You could do just pure Bermuda, or you could do like Tiff Eagle Bermuda. You could do some of the Ultra Dwarf stuff. If you don't want to do any of the like hybrids, that'd be fine. But let's do this. Best putters on Bermuda. Some guys have small sample sizes. Rio has a small sample size, but he's number one. Stanger, small sample size, number two. Larger sample sizes, Taylor Montgomery, Ben Griffin, Eric Cole, Matt Fitzpatrick, Ben Taylor, Denny McCarthy. I also did this in my weekly newsletter, which, by the way, it is literally 100% free. You should just go sign up for it. I did the specialists. So these are guys that this is the difference between their regular strokes gained over the last 50 and their Bermuda strokes gained putting. So look at guys that are already good putters and see the improvement. Eric Cole, Taylor Montgomery, other guys you could consider. Ben Taylor, we talked about that one. Nico Echevarria, Victor Perez. Just trying to find guys that aren't super horrible. Ben Coles, Vince Whaley. Actually, Vince Whaley withdrew. Don't play that. But like, this is like Kevin Yu just goes from being an absolutely miserable putter and losing a stroke per round to only losing a half a stroke per round. So keep that in mind. Wow. She's a little grumpy, a little nap. B-Woo or D-Woo? D-Woo for me. Ha. Can we get strokes game metrics on Capital One's The Match? How sick would that be, right? I would absolutely love that. Thoughts on Montgomery? Hate to say it, but I'm generally interested. We've got the putting stuff, right? We know that. We know that putting's important this week. We know that he's a Bermuda specialist. He is scaring me off the tee, but he has been for a long time. The approach play is improved. That's it's a very low bar, but it is improved. And we've got some decent finishes as of late. Missed the cut at Riv, by far his worst start since the start of the season, which was September at the Fortinet. Had a very, very good run besides that. Yeah, I think I hit on Norin earlier on Monday. Keeps it in play off the tee. He's not going to bomb it around and get into too much trouble. He has a one-way miss when he does, which is generally kind of nice. Kind of a grindy guy. I actually think, so we haven't really talked about this. You know, I think this is going to play a lot easier than previous years. You know, normally 6, 7, 8 under par might win you this golf tournament. It's gotten easier over the years. They added more fairway. They changed number 10 to a par 5. I would like this better with a 6-under winning score for Alex Norin than maybe a 16-under winning score. So kind of stuck there. I'm having a hard time believing 30% ownership on Rory. Mike Cavallunas is the GOAT, though. I was thinking we'd get a discount given his stateside results so far. I defer it all to Mike. He's very, very good at this. So I think that when people look at this field and see Rory McIlroy and a lot of people they don't know, they're going to play Rory McIlroy. Stanger or Highsmith? Stanger. Okay, there was like 3 in a row for Justin Rose. We've not done the Rosy deep dive yet. I want to see what his cognizant, so weird to say, history is. So let's pull that up. Miscut the last two. Whoops. Oh, I think I clicked something while I was doing that. That's on me. I got to let it load first, but it takes forever on my lap. There we go. Okay. Two miscuts in a row, but then he had those 3 top fives in a row. Oh, my. Oh, but these are over. Oh, my God. Okay, so he hasn't played this since 2020. Missed the cut. Played in 2015. Missed the cut. 13, 12, and 10 were top. So we can't really use any of that, unfortunately, I don't think. That's too far back. T11 at Pebble. The putter has been really good. That's nice to see. We're not getting those tee to green improvements, though. Yeah, this is a little worrisome. Like a 4 out of 10. If you ever get that Mizuno deal, I'm happy to bite the bullet and take the hand-me-downs. Yeah, I've got my set right there. Very good. How would you rank these 5? Without knowing what you're looking for, Devin, I would rank them Rory, Cam Young, Cole, Lowry, Henley. Good luck. I mean, top 35 out of 400. This is one and done. I used Tony Finau even when I didn't really love him. Just wanted to not get leaped by a bunch if he won. Should I feel the same way with Eric Cole? Gut says to fade. You're right on the line. Like I said, Mark, you know, if you're in the top 10%, you should probably just be using Eric Cole. You're right on the border there. If you really do not like Eric Cole, there's a million guys you could play instead. You could play JT Post. You could play Bennion. You can play whoever. You're right on the cusp of it. I would not mind anything. Oh, man. Ricky Pickle's going to get me here. Just says pivots in each salary range DFS. Oh, I hate that. It's not even a question. It's not even phrased nicely. I don't know, man. It's a tough scene. It's not hard to just put like a question mark. Cheers from Colombia. Wow, very cool. Let's go Villegas top 10. That'd be sick. Nice. Wow, Colombia. Holy crap. Oh, that was a nice note, but I've already answered that. But thank you for the note. What would your strategy be for a $20 single entry weekly 10 to 20 person DFS league? Probably be pretty chalky, right? Depending on what the payouts are, it'd probably just be like a lot of Rory, Eric Cole, Bennon starts, maybe Cole and Bennon. You know what I mean? Just like pretty chalky stuff. And then try to take a stand on one guy, right? Maybe you take the stand on not playing Rory. Maybe you take the stand on not playing Eric Cole. But just something very like that. Ricky Fowler. No. Hey, Rick, love the show. Curious on your thoughts on how to use live guys for the majors. Is it worth it to use the top PGA guys for designated events and use Rom, Brooks, etc. when you can? Yes. Unfortunately, we're kind of at the point where there's enough good guys on live where, and these are my major championship rankings. So these are free on the website, rickrungood.com/bestball. I created them so that you could do the best ball drafts on Underdog. You could use them for your pools, all that stuff as a reference point. The thing is, so Liv's got at least two guys that you should absolutely be using in major championships. John Rahm, Brooks Koepka. You can't really go without using them if you have them available to you. Right. So now you've got to use them at majors. I don't know if you have to use four live guys because I do think they'll be, it depends. We'll see what, you know, Cam Smith is up to and Bryson is up to and Joaquin Neiman and Terrell are up to. But I don't want you to use live guys just to use live guys, especially because if everybody starts using live guys, you know, you using Rory McIlroy or Scottie Scheffler could be a little bit different. But I think what you're going to have to do is play Rahm at one of them, Brooks at another, and then that's probably all I'll do. Unless somebody really starts getting hot, that's probably the only way that I'll do this. We'll draft a major championship team at the end here. Surefire pick for survivor mode. The golfer must make the cut. I select Russell Henley. You didn't see that coming. These questions these comments are like stuck together. I can't read. MG actually made a great DTC ball. Sorry, the StreamYard is like pushing those comments together. I don't know. Okay. Splash available for Canada yet? I don't know. Try it. I don't know. Go to their website. There's a thing. Rick, where are you, my guy? Napa. Napa. Would you ever consider adding a tool to be able to cross-reference previous models you made to the results of that given week? Yes. I've been tinkering on it. It's a lot, admittedly. It's a lot because you have to, it's a ton of data and you have to like, it's a lot. I've been tinkering on it. That would be nice. Who do you like better for one and done, Cbez or Rasmus? Man, Rasmus is, so we haven't really done the Rasmus deep dive. I guess I did do it on Monday. I did it in my newsletter. So we probably don't need to do it now, but I am always a hair worried about the first start. The first start from a guy who plays primarily on another tour. And now you're trying to figure out and get my feet wet on all this different stuff. It's everything's different, right? That makes me a little bit worried. So for that reason, I'm out. No, I'm just kidding. Cbez, would be like a hair ahead here. But if Rasmus is going to play a couple of events here in the Florida swing, or I love that. Okie dokie. You going to be boots on the ground? No, I am like 3,000 miles away. All right. Here's what we are going to do now. Let me make sure I have my notes here. Okay, I'm going to do two things. I'm going to quickly, I saved up a couple of notes and comments about the LIV field this week. So what I have been doing, if you haven't noticed, is I've got multiple cheat sheets in here. PGA, European Tour, Korn Ferry Tour, LIV Golf. I've loaded all of those fields into the Holy Grail. I've loaded all those fields into the power rankings, into the custom model, all that stuff. Okay. So it's a little bit more difficult to model the LIV guys, but looking at this field, this is one of the few events where we get a decent bit of history. They've played here twice. And also this course has been played on the Asian tour. They might have played it on the European tour, but some of these guys have played it quite a bit. So I sent this out in my newsletter as well. So it's Royal Greens Golf and Country Club. Dustin Johnson has 14 rounds here, 2.31 strokes gained per round. Mito's got 7 rounds here, 2.27. So you can see all this, right? DJ's coming off of the win in Vegas. I'll actually sort this by salary. I guess that would probably be a little bit better. And you do get a 1600 discount from Dustin Johnson to John Rahm. So if you wanted to pivot off of Rahm at the top down to DJ, I think that is completely fair. Brooks Koepka has won this event back to back years. Okay. So throwing that out there, I couldn't be more excited about Joaquin Niemann. Two top 9 finishes. He's playing well. He played well. He obviously won in, God, why am I blanking on, was that Mayakoba? Yeah, Mayakoba. And then you got like Carlos Ortiz. So here's the other thing. Shameless plug for rickrungood.com. Having 6 tours is essential. The game of golf is global now by more than it's ever been. So Carlos Ortiz just won in Oman. Okay, he just won the International Series in Oman. So when you look at his price and see that he is $7,300, cheaper than Cameron Tringale, who has done nothing on LIV in his entire LIV career, that's pretty wild stuff. And Ortiz finished 12th and 17th here. He's your best value, okay? If you're building around some of those guys at the top, getting a little bit of value on Ortiz feels like the right spot to roll it out. And then these younger guys, right? These younger guys that get priced, Andy Ogletree, cheaper than Kevin Na. Like Andy Ogletree beat Kevin Na 900 out of 1,000 times. Like it's just crazy talk. Offer a lot of value. I will run one model here on these guys. And the problem is we got to be pretty straightforward here because not all of them have advanced metrics. We can use the weighted stuff. So this is what I would do. If we're looking for winners, we're going to do last 36 rounds of weighted strokes gained total for like 50. We have to do it that way. Then we're also going to do 15 on strokes gained 4+, 15 on strokes gained 5+. We have 20 left. See, the thing is we just can't do anything. They don't, you know, we got to get more of these stats here, or else this is going to turn into a very, I don't want to taint this model. We'll do 10 more on these, or we'll do this. We'll do 15 here and 20 more and 5 more here. So our number, okay. So Rahm is 1, Bryson 2, Niemann 3, Brooks 4, look at David Puig, 7th, because he also won an international series event. He won on the Asian tour. Anthony Kim is 12th, but that is using data from literally like 12 years ago. So I wouldn't worry too much about that. Where's Carlos Ortiz? Did I go past him? 32nd. Wow. Okay. Anyway, I think it's a Ortiz, I think Mito wouldn't be bad to try to bounce back a little bit. Hopefully I get some more data from Liv and have that model be a little bit better. All right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to turn our attention to Underdog. I'm going to remind everybody, go sign up for rickrungood.com. Go sign everything you need is in the links for the description. Sign up for rickrungood.com, get in the splash contest, go sign up for Underdog because we're entering that portion of the show right now. Woof, woof. And that makes it official. A couple things here on the pick'em side. You are, I think Underdog has not realized that this went from a par 70 to a par 71. And it is, I believe, not going to be as difficult. Okay. So with that being said, some of these round props, like JT Poston 69 and a half, 69 is two under on a golf course that now has another par five and also wider fairways. Okay. Take the lower side on that. Russell Henley, who has been great here, who is one of the best course fits under 69 and a half. They also have the Rivals. Where are my Rivals? Here they are. Taylor Montgomery over Gary Woodland is scary, but I think it is the correct move. And then there was one more that got my attention down here. Oh, Carson Young against Vincent Norman. Last week was Vincent Norman. That was the week for Vincent Norman. Carson Young, I think this is the better week for him. So all four of these would be, like, if I put $25 on that, it would be, what was it, 9.2x. So we can do that. It's going to ask me. I thought it was going to ask me to confirm where I was. So you can check that out. Link in the description. You can tail those or fade those or split them up or anything that you'd like. But what I'd really like to do is talk about the major championship stuff. So people are already emailing me, Rick, I'm in a major championship pool. I'm looking for information. The data, so I obviously talk with the Splash guys a lot. They told me their data around like run your pool and office football pool is that major pools are incredibly popular. And I'm starting to see that as well. So I did my rankings here for those reasons. I've got the qualifications, who's qualified for each one, the strokes gained metric, strokes gained at each one of the majors. And because Underdog has the major championship best balls right here, this is to me way better than the season long because, oh, wow, we're in a filled one. Beautiful. We have the fifth pick because it's going to be a lot easier to get guys that play in all four of them. It is going to be better because you can use the live guys, right? I was drafting season long teams that didn't, I mean, just, or, you know, 10 rounds where John Rahm never goes, 10 rounds where Brooks Koepka never goes. That's kind of wild. So the major championship best balls are sick. I had a couple questions about emphasizing the Masters, which I think is the correct thing to do. We're going to know who's in it. It is a sticky course history, so we should be able to predict it a little bit better. And that is how you advance out of the round. Round one is the Masters. So putting a little bit of emphasis on that, I think makes a ton of sense. Okay. We are, I'm assuming this thing is going to start momentarily. Where's my countdown clock? There we go. Scheffler and Rory McIlroy go 1-2. Obviously, our rankings have, I'll move this over so I have it. Rahm goes 3. So we're probably going to take either Brooks or Xander here. Wow. Okay. So we are going to get Brooks. Hovland went 4. We're going to get Brooks. I have Brooks as my fourth golfer. So that's fine. Wow. Is this going fast? Are these guys all on? Why is it on 0? Okay. I'm going to take Justin Thomas, who I think is going to win a major. This might be my Wi-Fi. Yeah. Right? It's like speed. I'm not getting the countdown clock. I think it's the hotel has bad Wi-Fi. But we've got Brooks Koepka and Justin Thomas out of the gate, which I'm completely happy with. I think Justin Thomas is probably going to win a major this year. And I think Brooks Koepka is going to contend at a lot of majors. So this makes me very happy. Both of those guys can play well at the Masters. Zalatoris finally getting the respect, right? We were seeing Zalatoris go fifth, sixth round in season long. I was getting him even in majors pools like in the 20s. Now he's at 12. So makes complete sense. This draft is flying. I love that. There was also something else I wanted to do. Wow, Cam Smith at 16. That is horrible. I mean, I hate to really pile up a bunch of live guys, but DJ here playing good golf. He's going to go to the Masters first. He's in everything. We're going to rock there. And then what we'll also do, we're not going to go with all these live guys. Although maybe we should. We're going to go Cam Young here, which is a little bit off the beaten path, but we know he is going to play in all of them. Great skill set at a lot of these. I did not want to go Hideki. I thought Hideki was my other option there. I wanted to show you the live leaderboard stuff. Mina, don't let me sign off without showing the live leaderboard stuff. There's some new quick live leaderboard updates for this week. The live leaderboard, which is the shot-by-shot tracker on rickrungood.com, now has some pre-tournament stuff. So it's got strokes gained total, top 10s, cut percentages, and also past performances, you know, how this player looks versus the field. So there's some pre-tournament stuff in there now that's pretty cool. All right, if Hideki falls to us again, I mean, we'll take Hideki there. I almost took him in the last round, so obviously we're going to take him. Okay, he's not going to get to us. So we're going to go Adam Scott here. Adam Scott is obviously a Masters champion. He's rounding into form. He's playing great golf right now. And then we are going to go Russell Henley, who has played well at Augusta, Georgia guy. Again, we're kind of really leaning on the Masters first. It gets us out of the first round. We know who's going to be there, and it's pretty predictable. So we've got Brooks Koepka, Justin Thomas, Dustin Johnson, Cam Young, Adam Scott, Russell Henley. Is there anybody's team who's better than that? No. Maybe this one. Maybe Short Gamer TV has Xander, Cantlay, Fitzpatrick, Fleetwood, Day, Minwoo. That's not bad. We're almost done this because we're coming up on 7-5, pick 41. There's only 60. I think all these guys are on autopilot, which is kind of great. I would love Lowry in this spot. Would love Lowry. Can't take Neiman. He's only in one major right now. Would love Lowry here. If not Lowry, Ben On's in everything. There goes Lowry. Ben On's in everything. Can we trust Ben On in majors? Nick Taylor. Although I can probably get Nick Taylor in a second. All right, watch this. We're going to go. I hate this. I should have went with Harris English. We're going to get Nick Taylor here. And then what we're also going to do is we're going to try to snatch up Matthew Pavone. There's a chance Pavone is just like that dude, right? There's a real chance of that. And then we round this out. So ideally, this goes Pavone Woodland for us. Woodland's in everything, and I've got time for him to – oh, there goes Pavone. And I got time for him to get back into form. We'll take Gary here at 53, and then we're going to have to cap this off with probably Hadwin because I know he's in everything, which feels like the safest. Yeah. All right. That's our team. That went fast. Brooks, JT, Dustin Johnson, Cam Young, Adam Scott, Russell Henley, Ben On, Nick Taylor, Gary Woodland, Adam Hadwin. Those are running all the time. I've got the rankings up. I have a video explaining the rankings and explaining kind of some strategy here. I also have the deposit match if you use the code Rick or use the link in the description. If you want to go fire some pick'ems, I think that the strokes are a bit too high. And I also like the... trying to take like a little bit of flyer on it. So like, you know, people love the first round leader. So they've got the first round basically top 10, but it's with odds. So like, you know, if you think JT, like I'll do one here, right? So JT Poston to finish inside the top 10 after round one, 2.5x. So if we did that and then we said, okay, well, and we also like Russell Henley under 69 strokes or 69 and a half, that's 7.5x payout, right? So I do like to use that as it's, you don't have to be perfect in a first round leader. They just got to be in the top 10. Jaeger might be another good one, 2.75, and then match that with, you know, like it might be that Sepp Straka one. Let me just see. Or like Lowry under, right? 8.25% or 8.25x. Yeah, interesting. So a lot of ways to get creative. All right, Mina, you can take the banner down. Thank you much. Rick, link in the description. Rick is the code. Okay, went a little bit over today. That's fine. I showed it. Yeah, that's good. Thanks. So live leaderboards getting better all the time. Rick Run Good, trying to get better all the time. Go sign up for that. All the links that you need are in the description. I hope that we have had another successful week. I wish you all the best, and I will see you guys soon.